Well, hopefully everyone has been preparing for the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. We are only 3 short weeks away. We have, obviously, many of us been preparing, starting in advance and removing leaven from our homes. In services, we've covered several different topics as we've prepared for these particular days, and we will continue to cover these topics over the next few weeks. But we've looked at several different things, including messages on sin, on repentance, faith, overcoming, gifts for growth, and on baptism. We'll likely hear more on leaven and the feast days themselves as we get closer to these particular days, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and what he had to go through and that sacrifice that he made for us. But there's another event that we cannot ignore. It helps us to understand the timing of the Passover, as well as the difference between the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, because there are significant meanings to that. And that is the night to be much observed, or the night to be much remembered. That is the same event. We don't have one to be observed and one to be remembered. It is observed and remembered on that same particular evening. But this event is kept on the evening of the first holy day, and it's something that is special for us. I know, having grown up in the church since I was 4 years old, that is something we've looked forward to every year as the night to be much observed. I want to start by looking at what was taking place as the final plagues were hitting Egypt. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. And go through this particular story in Exodus chapter 12, because it does lay out the Passover service as well as this particular evening of the night to be much observed, or night to be much remembered. It says, "The Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be to you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year." Now, many of you celebrated the first month of the year back in January 1st. They celebrate that as New Year's, as the world. But God has a different starting time. He said, "This month is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month you shall take to them every man a lamb according to their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor to his house, or next to his house, take it according to the number of the souls, and every man according to his eating shall you make account for the lamb." He said, just make sure there's enough individuals that can eat the lamb and do that together as neighbors. "Your lamb shall be without blemish," and we understand the reasons for that. "A male of the first year, and you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening." See, he says, keep it until the 14th day. They were to find a lamb, which is symbolic, and they were to keep it until the 14th day of the month. And they were to do this and to kill it in the twilight portion of that evening, which began the 14th. It literally means between the two evenings. They were to kill the lamb or the kid and prepare it according to the instructions that God had given them. The Passover consisted of the events that took place during the course of that particular night and into the following morning. Verse 7, it says, "They shall take of the blood and strike it on the 2 side posts and on the upper post of their houses, where they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden with water, but roast with fire, and the head and the legs and the pertinence of the bowels thereof. You shall let nothing remain until the morning, and that which remains until the morning you shall burn with fire." We need to remember this point because it's part of the understanding of when they were to keep the night to be much remembered. Something else that was explained to them. But it said not to let any of that lamb or goat remain until the morning, and then in the morning the remains were to be burned. Verse 11, "Thus shall you eat it with your loins gird, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Wasn't the Jews' Passover, because if you say, well, we're keeping the Passover. Oh, you're Jewish. That's a Jewish festival. No, it is God's festival. It is the Lord's Passover. Now he warns of a plague, or the last plague that's going to come on Egypt. He said, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Not only was he going to kill the firstborn, but he said, I will execute judgment on the gods of Israel. He said, the blood shall be to you for a token. That word means sign or beacon upon your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He said, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt, but I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, to smite the land of Egypt. And on this day it shall be to you a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast through the Lord in all your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by ordinance forever. This is the Passover. This is an understanding that was given to them of what was to be kept as the Passover. Then he says in verse 15, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. And whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day to the seventh day, that soul will be cut off from Israel. In the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done therein, except that which every man must eat, that can be done. Notice it establishes these days as holy convocations, just like the Sabbath day. They're holy gatherings. And according to Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, convocation means a calling out, a public meeting, a rehearsal, or an assembly. But it is a gathering together, and God says it's a holy gathering together, but it's a holy rehearsal. He said, you're going to do these things as a rehearsal. And of course, we understand that the Passover service that was given in the Old Testament is a rehearsal and a preparation for what was to happen in the New Testament. Verse 17, it says, you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in that self same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day in your generations for an ordinance forever. He says, on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in that very day is when I bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And again, that's another important point to remember. Strong says to observe. He says, therefore, you shall observe this day. That word observe means to put a hedge about, to guard, to protect, and to preserve. He said, I want you to preserve this day. It means something special. We have to remember that it is a part of that very self-same day that he brought the armies out of the land of Egypt. Verse 18, in the first month of the 14th day of the month, at even, the evening time of after the daylight portion, you shall eat unleavened bread from then until the 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall no leaven be found in your houses, and whoever eats that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. And you shall eat nothing leavened, in all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. So then they're told what to do, or what they are to do by Moses. He tells them what God commanded. In verse 21, he says, Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, draw out and take a lamb according to the families and kill the Passover. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood in the basin and strike it on the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. These instructions were given very clearly, and I think all of us would take heart. If God had told us, do not come out of the house because I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt, but I will pass over you if you have this blood on your doors. You're to eat the lamb and you're not to let any of it remain, and in the morning, whatever's left, you burn with fire. Here he says, don't go out of the house until the morning. Again, it's a key point to help us to know when these events were taking place and when the night to be much observed falls. But they were told not to leave the house on that eve of the Passover until morning. Some claim that they left Egypt at midnight on that night of Passover, and that Passover and night to be much observed are that same night. That that's only one night, and we've got it wrong in separating it as two different evenings. But in the Old and the New Testament, we see that it was done this way. And there are so many things that point to the understanding of the separation between these and what they mean. There is a meaning for Passover, and there is a meaning for the night to be much observed as it leads into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Again, he says, individuals will say, well, they came out at midnight because that's the morning, you know, the midnight portion of Passover, because that's when morning begins. And according to today, when we say, well, just like changing the clocks last week, at midnight, Sunday morning, you change the clocks. Well, according to the way God counts time, he said the evening and the morning are one day. The morning is the light portion, is a day. But individuals will try to use this and say that Passover and night to be much observed are the same night. And individuals have tried this going back years ago into the church, and it seems like things come in cycles and individuals try to do that again. But they try to say that is the same night, and that is simply confusion. It's not what we're told. Notice in verse 23, he said, the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, but he will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in to your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and your sons forever. And it shall come to pass that when you come into the land which the Lord will give you, according to as he has promised, you shall keep this service. Which service is he talking about? He's talking about the Passover. He said, this is when I passed over, or I will pass over, you shall keep this service. And in verse 26, it shall come to pass that when your children say, what do you mean by this service? What do you mean by the Passover? It's Jewish tradition today to have children ask that question. Well, if we're going to remember this, we're going to remember even the question, and the children will ask the question, why do we keep the Passover? What do we mean by keeping this particular service? They want to maintain the understanding of course, what they keep as the Passover service. But it's to maintain that knowledge. And he says, when your children ask you, why do you keep this? Verse 27, you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children went away, as the Lord had commanded them through Moses and Aaron. And so they did. Verse 29, it came to pass at midnight. Now, this is when most people say, well, that's the morning. It says, it came to pass at midnight that the Lord smote the firstborn of the land of Egypt, and the firstborn of the Pharaoh that sat on the throne, and even the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of cattle. Not a good time to come out at midnight or to judge for ourselves. Well, it's midnight, so it's morning. And he said, stay in your houses until morning, so now that it's morning, we can head out. Wouldn't have been a good time to do at midnight, because that's when this terrible thing happened to Egypt. Verse 30, it says, the Pharaoh rose up that night, he and his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house that there was not one dead. It's a massive event that took place, and of course, when we think about that, that cry had to leave chills on those who had blood on their doorpost and could hear the cries of Egypt taking place. Yet there are some who still believe, well, they came out that night, they left Egypt that same night of Passover while it was still dark. God not only said he would pass over, but he would put to shame the gods of Egypt, that he would judge them. The Egyptians worshipped all kinds of gods and things that were living. Having done reports on things in college, I did a term paper on the Egyptian dung beetle, how they worshipped a dung beetle because it walks backwards and it rolls cow dung into a ball and just keeps rolling it around backwards. And they said that must be how the earth turns and rotates. There's a giant dung beetle in space that rolls this earth backwards. And so they worshipped the dung beetle as a god. But through the plagues that took place, our true God challenged all of the Israelite gods, especially those who were in high positions. Osiris, the ruler of life, God showed, well, you cannot protect life when I say that this is going to happen. The other gods, Hu, H-U, the god of personifying royal authority, the Egyptian gods had no authority. Wadjet, the goddess of royal authority. Sobek, the god that epitomized the might of the pharaohs. At that point, the pharaohs had no might. This final plague, God showed, I am the only true God, and I am the supreme God. The pharaohs had no way to rebuttal what God had done. Maat, M-A-A-T, the goddess of cosmic order. And Samet, the war goddess. There was no way for them to call on these gods to protect them because their gods were not real. And God showed them all that he was powerful and that they had no power, that the Egyptian gods were powerless to him. So he, Pharaoh, called for Moses and Aaron by night. And he said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Now, some use this and they say, well, he called for Moses and Aaron by night, so he called them that night, and so they got up and left Egypt that night. Well, all it says here is that they called for Moses, or that he called for Moses and Aaron by night. Nothing indicates that they got up and went. And I think if God had worked through Moses, as we see that he did, that when God commanded him, you are not to come out of your house until morning, even if Pharaoh called, he's not going to submit to Pharaoh before he submitted to God. God specifically told them not to leave their houses until morning and not to have any remaining lamb or goat until morning. And if you did, you were to burn it in the morning. Verse 32, he says, take also of your flocks and herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Do you think they went out in the dark and gathered their flocks and their herds in the middle of the night after hearing that cry and after being told to stay inside, that they, because Pharaoh says, get out, they just decide, okay, well, what God had said has no meaning. He told us we can leave. We need to leave now. And go out and begin gathering their herds and their cattle. Verse 33, the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they had said, we be all dead men. Again, they realize we don't have a God to protect us from their God. The people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed. It's not that they were going to give it back. That word borrowed means they asked for, of the Egyptians, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. You always wonder, well, when they made the golden calf later, where did they get all that gold and jewelry and those things because they were slaves? Well, they had plundered the Egyptians. They were told to ask for that. So Moses told them to ask of the Egyptians, and again, they had slaved for them at that point, hundreds of years. So these individuals had been slaves their entire lives, and they deserved some type of compensation. And the Egyptians at that point were anxious to get them out of the land and were more than willing to give them something. So when did they plunder the Egyptians? If the death angel came at midnight and they went out and left Egypt really quick after gathering their herds, when did they plunder Egypt? In the middle of the night, while individuals are holding the child or the person that had just died? No, again, this was at a different time. Passover night, they were told, none of you shall go out of his house until the morning. Had to be the following morning. After the Passover service had ended and the sun had come up, and they had burned the remaining parts of the lamb. Verse 36, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and so they lent to them such things as they had required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. This is another important point because that first journey from Ramses to Succoth was about 20 miles. Gathering things, gathering their animals and herds, and the jewelry and all that they had collected, and getting to Succoth, the edge of Egypt, would have taken them most of 10 to 12 hours, if not more. There's always a dispute about how many left Egypt. And when we look at this, look at the number of 600,000 by foot, it's thought 3 million, but roughly 2 to 4 million, that's a safe number to go with, 2 to 4 million people leaving Egypt. And yet they thought, well, after midnight, they had time to do that before daylight and to leave Egypt by night. In less than 6 hours, after gathering sheep and animals and gathering jewelry from the Egyptians and doing all these things in one particular evening, and disobeying the law of God, which said, don't leave until morning. It says in verse 38, a mixed multitude also went up with them, and flocks and herds, and even very much cattle. Others joined with the Israelites, and I think it's interesting, we find that in several instances when things are described by God, when he tells them to do certain things, we find sometimes others, because of the effect that the Israelites had on them, would join them. When the sun came up, the children of Israel hurriedly gathered their things to leave Egypt. And they did leave Egypt, and they did leave at night, and it was the light of a full moon, but it was on the eve of the 15th day of the month. They were finally leaving Egypt. And leaving Egypt meant leaving not just Ramses, where they were, but leaving Egypt, which was at Succoth. And they did this as a night to be much remembered. Verse 39 says, they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought forth out of Egypt, and it was not leavened because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither would they had they prepared themselves any victual. And now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even that selfsame day, it came to pass that the Lord of hosts went out from the land of Egypt. It's a different description than the Passover, where they were passing over or passing through the land of Egypt, and God passed over the children of Israel who had the blood on the doors. It's a different description. He says in verse 42, this particular evening is a night to be much observed unto the Lord. And why? It doesn't say because of the Passover. It says for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. It is a night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. When leaving Succoth, they were finally leaving the land of Egypt. How would we describe the night to be much observed to someone in the world, even today? Makes us think about the meaning a little bit closer. We don't just observe it as, well, it's the start of our holy day season and we sit down to have a meal. And that's true. Of the Passover service, we're told that it shall come to pass when your children ask you, what do we mean by this service? What do we mean by this particular night of Passover? And he says, you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered the houses. That's what the Passover evening meant. But there's a different meaning for the night to be much observed. The night to be much observed is for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. And understanding that, it is bringing them out of sin, because now for 7 days they're going to be leaven-free. When giving this in Bakersfield, sometimes things can be simplified and you focus on so many different things. And one individual says, well, it's pretty simple. If there's 7 days of unleavened bread and it goes to the 20th, count back. Oh, wait a minute. You know, that you go from the 15th on and you get 7 days, that means the 14th would be 8 days, and it can't be the same evening of these things taking place. Now, besides the counting of time, again, there are so many things that God points out very clearly that they are two separate evenings. Let's look a little closer at this verse from verse 42. The margin of the New King James says it is a night of vigil. Dumoulin commentary says the Hebrew word literally means a night of watching, a night of vigil, or a watch festival. Not like a wristwatch festival where we're all watching the clock or watching time, but it is a watch festival or a night of watching. According to Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of a vigil, a watch formerly kept on the night before a religious feast with prayer or other devotion. The day before a religious feast observed as a day of spiritual preparation. The evening or nocturnal devotion or prayers, usually used in plural. The act of keeping awake at times when sleep is customary. They traveled by night, and they left Egypt by night, which would have been a full moon, which we will be seeing here in just a few weeks. It says a period of wakefulness. They traveled at night. They remained awake. It says an act or period of watching or surveillance. To watch is to keep vigil. It's just as keeping vigil at a bedside. Somebody who's ill, you watch over them at their bedside. You've probably heard of candlelight vigils, because vigils are done at night. Candlelight, because it is nighttime and it is something to be seen. The BDB Hebrew Bible says it is a night of watching or a night of watching by the Lord. That God was watching. And he was watching over the children of Israel. He was giving them deliverance as he had promised, and he was leading them and watching over them. What is the lesson for us today on this particular evening of keeping vigil? This particular night, to be much observed, we keep vigil. What does it mean for us? The Israelites lived in a very difficult environment. And of course, we know as Moses came to them that the stress put on them was increased, and they were to make bricks without straw. They had to work harder. They were punished even more. But they lived in a very difficult environment, and they were enslaved and forced to do hard labor. By this point, they had been in slavery their entire lives. They were keeping vigil. They were watching because they wanted, I'm sure they were watching behind them. Are we really going to be let go? Are we really being led to freedom? And they were watching as God was watching over them. But they were watching for deliverance, something that they had sought after and something that they had longed for. They knew they needed deliverance. Now they doubted, I'm sure, when Moses came to them and said, God's told me I'm going to deliver you out. They probably doubted that one man or one individual, or even at that time not knowing God as they should, that God would lead them out. But it's a night to be remembered that God watched over Israel. But we too need deliverance. And it is a night of vigil for us to watch. We also live in a very hostile environment, just as they did. We live in a world that is held in slavery, as Mr. Armstrong wrote, a world held captive. The world doesn't know it's held captive, and many of those Israelites who grew up in slavery probably just expected this is life, this is what life is like. We live in our physical lives in a world that is entrapped by sin. It's all around us. And there's only one place to go for deliverance. One place that we watch for, one place that we turn and rely on. But we're warned to be vigilant and to be watching even on our time. It is a night of vigilance. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 8. We see another command to be vigilant. And remember, a vigil is to keep watch, and it's generally done at night. And we live in a world that is living in darkness. But he says in verse 8, be sober and be vigilant. Be watchful. Be aware. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. They were watching for Pharaoh to come behind them. Strong says vigilant here is the Greek word that means to keep awake, to watch, or to be watchful. Again, it means to keep awake during the night or during the dark time. We see that same warning given to us in several places throughout the New Testament. Matthew 26:40 in the modern King James says, he came to his disciples and found them asleep, and he said to Peter, what, could you not watch for me even 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. He said, watch and pray. Luke 21:34 says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with headaches and drinking and anxieties of this life, and that that day should suddenly come upon you. For it shall come as a snare on all those sitting on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, praying in every season, that you be accounted worthy to escape these things which will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Mark 13:33 says, take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when that time is. As a man going away, leaving his house, and giving authority to his servants, each man's work to him, and commanding the doorkeeper to watch. Then you watch, for you do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, at evening, at midnight, at the cock crowing, or early. Lest he come suddenly and find you sleeping, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. That command to be watchful, or command to be vigil and awake and alert, is something that is just as important for us as it was for the children of Israel. It's the same word in 1 Peter is translated vigilant as it was for them to keep awake and to remain vigilant. And just as God kept watch over Israel, the children of Israel were to keep watch or keep vigil. And again, we too are to be doing that, to be ready, to be watching, and to be reminded. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation or the revealing of the sons of God. We know that's going to happen at Christ's return. For the creation was not willingly subjected to vanity, but because of him who subjected it in hope. It says, the creation itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty or freedom of the children of God. And we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain until now. And not only so, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. We wait for that deliverance from a world filled with Satan, with his influence. We wait for that deliverance from the physical body that we have, because we have God's Spirit and we realize what that change is going to take place in us. We wait for a time that is no longer ruled by Satan. And we wait for deliverance from Satan's world, and we wait for that deliverance from our physical bodies. I'm going to go back through and recap the events that took place that particular evening. And I put a few copies of this on the back table. This is a chart from years ago. I'm not even sure where I got it years ago, but it does lay out those particular evenings of what took place in the Old Testament. On the sunset, and it does have the verses that go with this to back up and show what was taking place. On that sunset, between the two evenings, they were to kill the lamb. They were to keep the lamb until the 14th and then to kill it. That evening at night, says the Passover meal was eaten that particular night. The firstborn of Egypt was killed at midnight. Pharaoh sends for Moses at night after midnight, but not called mourning. It says no record of Moses going to see Pharaoh that night. Nothing's recorded that says, oh, because Moses was called by Pharaoh, Moses went. And it says Israel remained inside until the morning, as they were commanded to. The next day, this is what took place. And again, a lot took place as they were hurrying to leave Egypt. They didn't hurry enough to do it in the dark hours of the Passover. There's a lot that took place the next morning. The remains of the meal were burned in the morning as they were commanded. Israel baked unleavened cakes for their trip. Joseph's remains were collected for the trip. We find that in Exodus 13. Israel gathers at Ramses by armies and hosts and divisions. There's several passages that talk about that. When you leave by 2 to 4 million people, you don't say, okay, everybody just go. Go where and at what speed and what do we take? What direction do we head in? It was a process, and I'm sure God's blessing was upon it, because even to do that in a short amount of time together at Ramses by armies with children of Israel had to be a task. They then spoiled the Egyptians during that daylight portion, and the firstborn were being born as Israel gathers to leave. We find that in Numbers chapter 33. That evening, the evening going into the 15th, when it became night, it was considered or called the night to be much observed. Israelites marched to Succoth, about 20 miles from Ramses. They left Egypt by night 430 years to the selfsame day. He said, 430 years you are being delivered from bondage, delivered from Egypt. And that was done on this night to be much observed. There's a 600,000 men, equal to 2 to 3 million people, plus a mixed multitude and very much cattle. The following day, it says, Israel camped at Succoth for the first day of unleavened bread. We find that in Numbers 33 and in Exodus 12. And 7 days of unleavened bread began at sundown on the night to be much observed. And it says 6 days of unleavened bread followed after the Passover. And then the seventh day was another holy day. So 7 full days of unleavened bread. We can see it was a packed few days, just as the crucifixion week. When we look at the New Testament, what takes place in the New Testament and the timing of it, a lot of things take place and a lot of things point to us and give us the understanding of the timing of things, even the timing of his crucifixion and his promise that 3 days and three nights later he would be resurrected. The night to be much observed is not a separate event from the holy days. We don't keep it as a separate festival, but it is a night to be much remembered, or a night to be much observed. And as it begins the days of unleavened bread, it's part of the reminder of what these days pictures, and it's a wonderful way for us to start keeping these days as we begin to go into that holy festival. It is a holy day, but it's part of the days of unleavened bread, and it reminds us of the meaning in the Old Testament and in the New. It's a high Sabbath, something that we need to treat as a high Sabbath, and even though we're going to be gathering together in homes or together in one place or in a restaurant, it is a high Sabbath, and again, we need to keep it special. We'll look at some ways that we can keep this special evening of the night to be much observed. Some like to host it in the evening as in their homes in a smaller group. I remember doing this going back years ago, and there were certain things that I really remember more than others. Like when we were asked to bring a vegetable tray years ago. And so we got the most colorful vegetables that we could find in the store, and all the little baby corns and all the little things that would look colorful and neat on a tray. And fortunately, before anyone else had one, this lady comes to us and she says, "Do you know you've put habaneros on your vegetable tray?" And we did know, little peppers, we were thinking, like little peppers. I think Everybody would have had a night to be much remembered had they ate what we had brought. So we quickly took those off the tray and cleaned off that juice because habaneros are something you don't want before you have your dinner. But there are other memorable evenings, and all of them are memorable because of the excitement of going into the holy days, but also the time that we're together and we are focusing on a particular evening, that this is a reminder of the deliverance. It is a night that we are keeping watch, and it is a night that we are watching as God begins to give us another 7 days of unleavened bread. Others like to go to restaurants so they don't have to cook or clean. And at times, individuals, as we have done here, gather together as congregations, and we've had as many as 80 or more individuals gathered together in one place. But we celebrate the evening as a memorial of the events that took place in the Old Testament and what they picture for us even in the New Testament. As the Israelites departed from Egypt, we also every year are reminded we are to depart from sin. As we remove the leavening from our homes, it pictures the removal of sin and putting sin out of our lives and focusing on the small parts of our life and focusing on those things that we need to change. It's a joyous occasion for each of us to be able to participate in because it is a focus on God's festivals. This particular evening, we fellowship with those who believe the same things and have the same understanding as we go into a holy day. We take a solemn look at the events of that last plague at the Passover because we will have kept it the night before. But we also look at the delivering hand of God and the freedom that they received on that particular evening and why that evening was remembered, because it was remembered not because of the Passover. That had a different meaning. It was remembered for bringing them out of the land of Egypt, out from slavery, and walking away from Egypt free. In some translations it says it is a solemn evening. And some say, well, you know, we shouldn't be laughing and rejoicing and doing these things. It needs to be very solemn, a solemn dinner. The word solemn is better translated is an important evening or an important event. It's not, we want to be able to enjoy that evening and to rejoice. I think when they left, I seriously doubt as they left Egypt that they were very solemn and not talking to each other. They were probably, it says they went out with a high hand. They were rejoicing over that freedom that was given to them. And after we go through the Passover service, and as we go into 7 days of remaining free from sin, we can also rejoice together. What was it like to have freedom after hundreds of years of bondage? To know that you are finally totally free. Well, for us, when we go through baptism, and also when we go through the Passover service, we know what it's like to be totally free from sin. And again, many of us, I can probably relate to what I'm going to say. Many times I come out of there going, how long can I remain totally free? We still live in a world that is captured by sin. It is in bondage. But we know what it's like to be free from sin, and it is something that is exciting. What will it be like to be totally free from a world that is held in bondage by Satan, to be free from human nature when we are changed and we become a part of the family of God, to have that freedom from the physical body, which is corrupted just as says even the creation waits for that freedom from bondage. We'll look at how we should keep this particular evening, and there are some suggestions and guidelines that have been given over the years for making this night special. When we get together, we should wear something nice, and not just jeans and shorts and flip-flops, but make it a special evening because it is a holy day. So we need to dress properly. And we don't have to wear suits and ties, but to just dress and showing that it is a special evening. There should be an emphasis on being with and fellowshipping with God's people. It's not a night where we call up our high school friends who are not in the church and say, well, you know, we're going to have dinner tonight because it's a special evening. You want to join us? No, it's the time to spend it with those who are celebrating it as well, and to fellowship with those who have also committed to living this way of life. It's a time to strengthen one another and to support one another in this special evening. It's a special prayer should be asked on the evening meal, giving recognition that it is a night to be much observed, that it is a special evening, and giving God the thanks and appreciation for revealing that knowledge to us, because the world doesn't have that, but also for giving us the freedom that we have, because He's already given us that freedom, and He's led us out of sin, and we continue to walk in that way. But that is a gift and something that we need to be thankful for. Some like to give gifts, especially to the children, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's not a command, but especially for little children, to give them something is encouraging for the evening. Many like to do that. If you're invited to someone's home, be sure to ask what you can bring and include everyone in the evening. Make sure everybody has a place to go. And again, we need to make sure that we're not staying out too late that particular night. We have one service the next day in the afternoon because we are having a dinner and it does go into the evening. We want to make sure everybody's rested for the next day. But it is a reminder that it is a holy day and we will be having services the next day. We need to be refreshed and ready. So here we are, only 3 weeks away from the spring holidays. Those days are coming very quickly. I hope you find these days exciting and memorable, looking back at past night to be much observes that we have kept. They are part of us. They define who we are. They show that we're still following what God had commanded them to do. And He said, just as Passover, keep it as a ordinance, that keep this as a memorial, as a reminder. He tells us of the night to be much observed. This too is to be a reminder, a memorial. And it defines who we are as a people. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. And beginning in verse 12. He says, "Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths." That's a plural word. I gave them my Sabbaths. Includes the annual Sabbaths, includes the holy days. "I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them." He says, this is something that shows these are my people and this is who I'm working with, "that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctifies them." So we're to know that God has set us apart. Set us apart from the world, just as those who had blood on the doorpost were set apart in Egypt. We know that through these days and through the meaning of these days that God has set us apart. And it's something that we should be very thankful for, and again, something we should recognize in the prayer as we're recognizing that evening, is something that we should enjoy together as we keep that night to be much observed. Pictures the departure from Egypt or the departure from sin. And we know for us, that time of departure, we look forward to that cleansing and that renewal of the covenant that we make, or that we made at baptism. We make it again when we take the bread and the wine. We also know at that time we are freed, and to remain free and to walk free from sin for 7 days, and hopefully build a habit of continuing to remove those things as we move forward. We are to be careful. It says we are to be vigilant, watchful, as we prepare to keep these annual spring holy days, 2017.